Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to the Goodreads program with myself, Zunaida Musa Wadiwala, on Radio Islam International. So alhamdulillah, the Hajj season has come and it's almost over. Hajj certainly is over. I've shared with you some really important books, some good reads about the do's and don'ts of Hajj, some important information, some books on the history of Makkah al-Mukarramah and Madinah al-Munawwarah, and these programs are available on Radio Islam's website as podcasts. But for today, on the Goodreads program, I have something very special in store for you. It is a Hajj-related book, but a book which would appeal to the Hujjaj returning from the most important journey of their life. So while this book is definitely beneficial for a person embarking on the journey of Hajj, I have decided to leave it for the last and actually review it for today, hoping that the Hujjaj who have just returned and those who are about to return really go through this book, because it is something really, really amazing. And following the book review slot, we go on to the Zoomspiration slot, where today I will just discuss, give you some brief tips on the greatest exam of life and how to pass that, inshallah. So without further ado, into the best book slots. Now, I have to say to you from the very outset that this book really resonates with me. Of course, there's a variety of reasons for that, but especially because it took me down memory lane regarding my own Hajj trip, as well as it appealed to me because I'm a scholar of Islamic history and a scholar of the seerah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So without further ado, I introduce you to Notebooks from Mecca and Medina, A Convert's Journey to Islam's Two Holy Cities. The author of the book is Shafiq Morton. And just a little bit background information for you. Shafiq Morton is a well-known photojournalist as well as a media personality, perhaps best known for his association as news editor and his work with The Voice of the Cape as the Drive Time presenter. Now, Notebooks has been published and printed in South Africa by Dome Publications. It is an excellent print and an excellent paper quality, mashallah. The cover is an impressive aerial photo of Makkah Mukarramah, which includes the Haram and the Kaaba, and it has the shadow of a pilgrim with his arms outstretched in dua. And like the rest of the book, I find the cover extremely attractive and appealing. Consisting of 258 pages, excluding the 10-page index, the book includes diagrams depicting columns, depicting columns of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's mosque, a historical diagram of Medina, an outlay of the Holy Kaaba, and a landscape of the Hajj sites. Now, the journey of Hajj, whilst being shared with millions of people from around the world, is what I feel actually an extremely personal journey. For me personally, it was truly a journey of the heart. And what mattered most was who I was after I stood and after I pleaded for forgiveness and for mercy on the plains of Arafat. So I could not have come back home without having changed in significant areas of my life. For how would I have been able to face my Creator? How would I face my Creator if I had forgotten those tears which I had shed in the blessed lands? And this is what I mean when I said earlier that the journey of Hajj is extremely personal. It's just between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when I came across the title Notebooks, just the word Notebooks, it was enough to have me completely intrigued. In fact, I had a restlessness in me, a yearning that I knew that I needed to get hold of this book. You know, the title was just so catchy for me. So I knew, instinctively I knew that there was something in this book that could move me. And of course, this is one of the reasons why I kept this review, as I said earlier, for after Hajj and for when the Hujjaj have begun or already have returned. So this is the ideal book for someone just returning back from Hajj, the journey of a lifetime, the journey of a heart. And amongst other reasons, this is because Shafiq Morton has shared more than just his personal experiences with us. This account of his memoirs is actually given side by side with the history of Arabia, with the history of Islam, the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are facts and politics also included, and it translates for me as an eye-opener. So the book comprises of 35 chapters in total, and in chapter 2, which is titled The Departure, we learn that the author's grief when departing in 1997, which was a few months, he was so fortunate because he departed so early. He departed a few months, in fact, before Ramadan, which back then, 21 years ago, was around November. And actually his grief was to bring back first-hand impressions of Mecca and Medina to a South African radio audience. And all I can say is alhamdulillah that today this book has translated, brief of his has today translated into this book which I share with you now. So the personal insights and anecdotes shared are so amazing, and I will try to share a few with you. So I loved it when I learned that, when a Haji is departing, then it's actually beautiful to give that person a gift. And the beautiful people of Cape Town, they still honor this recommended act of gifting the pilgrim with something for their journey. And from this book, I also learned that this is called Slawat. And so this, with the Slawat being done and the request for dua and salutations to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam being made, which, by the way, the author respected enough to write down the names of those who had asked him to make dua and who had asked that their salam be conveyed to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he actually wrote it down so that he wouldn't forget, and thus his journey began. And he refers also in this chapter briefly to Imam al-Ghazali's well-known analogy of the pilgrim's send-off to that of a person passing away. And from the picture that is created of Cape Town International Airport in 1997, the author then reminds us of travel prior to the 1950s, when Hajj guides would actually sail from the Hijaz to Cape Town to collect the Hujjaj, and how, amongst others, our grandparents, or probably our great-grandparents, had to brave the Indian Ocean. And I have to share some advice which a friend gave to the author on his departure, and the friend said to him, Allah has called you, and you are returning his call. You are his guest. There is nothing to worry about. And this bit of advice reminded me of some advice that I had received upon my own Hajj departure. And someone said to me that please don't worry, or don't spend your time worrying about your children, because the Allah who is looking after you there is the same Allah who is looking after your children at home. And so to the Hujjaj who are listening to me now, I'm sure you can relate that when these type of advices and these type of words of comfort were said to you, they did, as you were departing, they definitely left you with a sense of ease and relief. And I'd love if you share with me some of that, some of the advices that left you feeling relieved, you know. So if you would just share with me on Instagram, it would really be great, inshallah. So reading then about the author's entry into Medina was definitely one of the highlights for me. As he was making his way for ziyarah to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, and I quote, "My heart filled with a nervous expectation. It was the same kind of sweaty anxiety when you are going to meet someone special, but you do not know what to say, because you feel so insignificant." And from such a moving personal account, the author shared some amazing facts. He says that during the month of Ramadan, one of the recommended he said some really amazing facts, and actually I'm just going to go back to what I was about to say to you. During the month of Ramadan, I myself shared with you a book review called Dalailul Khairat, and this was by the author Imam Al-Jazuli, and in this book, Notebooks from Makkah and Medina, the author tells us that when he's describing the Haram of Makkah and Medina, he says that on the Qibla wall there was exquisite Naqsh calligraphy reflecting over 200 reverential names given to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and which was penned by the Moroccan Shaveli Sufi Islamic scholar Imam Al-Jazuli. So if you'd like to refer back to that book review on Dalailul Khairat, it's also available as a podcast on the Radio Islam website. The descriptions which then follow are truly noteworthy, and I recommend that you ponder over them, because there is so much of history and so much of significance in the discussion surrounding the 8 pillars in the old mosque precinct. So something also I'd like to share with you, so hilariously funny. On my first perusal of the book, I saw a chapter titled Yusuf Effendi. And I said, apart from that being a Turkish name, what could it mean? I couldn't figure it out. And when I read that, it turns out that it actually refers to what we in South Africa call a nachi. And the Arabians couldn't pronounce tangerine, and so they found it easier on the tongue to call it the Yunus Effendi. also that it's quite quite funny. I think worthy of sharing. And also, I think something else that the Hujjaj, who has just come home, can relate to, comments and queries from the locals, such as "Assalamu alaikum, kayfa haluka? Anta min Hind?" Or in this case, they asked the author, "Anta Turk?" And of course, they were always locals are so astonished when we reply, "Anta Ifriq min Junub Ifriq?" And of course, and they would reply back, "Ah, Junub Ifriq, Mandela, good man," you know. So, of course, you could just bring a smile to your face when you think about those comments and those type of conversations. In any event, the book continues on the emotions felt when the author saw the Kaaba. He discusses lessons on and discussions on Badr, Uhud, places of Hajj, some bonus discussions on Istanbul. And I wish I could have shared more with you, had time permitted. But I really recommend this book. Truly an excellent, inspiring, and educational read. It is available from Timbuktu Books in Cape Town. Timbuktu Books, reconnecting with our rich Islamic heritage of learning and spirituality. Timbuktu Books has the largest selection of quality Islamic books in South Africa. Timbuktu Books is situated in Sybrand Park, Cape Town. Contact them on 021-697-1517. And that brings us to the end of the book review slot and onto the Zoomspiration slot. So I don't have too much of time, but I just like to read an extract from the book, 50 Candles, the Light, 50 Candles to Light Your Path, by Dr. Abdul Karim Bakr. And it says here in chapter 2, entitled, "Try to Pass the Greatest Exam." We are here in this life in a kind of strange vocational institute. A person does not learn, study, and then enter the exam, but rather one studies and takes the exam at the same time. It is not surprising that the exam continues throughout the life, but the strange thing is the exam's methods are very diverse. One person might be tested through intelligence, while another is tested through foolishness. Another person is examined with his poverty, while another is tested with his wealth. Furthermore, one is tested with being healthy, while another is being tested with being ill. Finally, one is tested for having a wide fame and popularity, while another is tested with being very unpopular. But what does all this mean? And the author says it means four things. One, we need to broaden the circle of our sense of our behavior and actions to be always under monitoring and to fulfill them as Allah the Almighty loves. Two, if one of us made a mistake or slipped away, we are then required to repent and to correct our actions before we meet Allah the Almighty. Three, we must prepare ourselves to apply continence on a continuous basis. And four, it is important to pass with those who take their exams lightly in order not to be carried away with them. In such a case, our loss would indeed be a great one. And with that, it is time for me to say goodbye for now. I will inshallah be back, not next Friday, but the following Friday on the Goodreads program, and I look forward to your interactions. Until then, ma'as-salam.